co-host Ken Gale, and we want to tell you about our Nuff Said special, which we're going to broadcast from midnight to 3 a.m. on February 2nd.
Groundhog's Day.
Does that mean we're going to have to repeat this show over and over again?
Well, if we have to hear anything over and over again, this is the one to hear.
With our guest, Lynn Johnston.
The creator, writer, and artist of the comic strip For Better or Worse.
And also Mark Hamill.
Yes, that Mark Hamill.
The Mark Hamill who's the voice of the Joker and who played Luke Skywalker those many years ago?
Yeah.
That one. That's going to be a good show, and we're going to try and fill in as much as we can in 3 hours, maybe even some of your phone calls as well. So tune in. That's the Nuff Said special on WBAI from midnight to 3 a.m. February 2nd.
Groundhog's Day.
Does that mean we're repeating it?
Groundhog's Day.
Does that mean we're repeating it?
Groundhog's Day.
Does that mean we're repeating it? And it's just about 8 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, or Tuesday evening, or whatever it is, whatever part of the world you're in. Some places it might be Tuesday morning. But whatever, it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call.
Good evening to everybody. This is another exciting edition of Off the Hook, where I believe if everything is going right, if everything is working out properly, this radio program is being broadcast over the internet as well, which means that people anywhere in the world who have access to the internet, who have access to an appropriately sped up modem and access to the right software and hardware, well, they could be listening to us as well. It sounds complicated, and you know what? It is, but it's getting easier almost by the minute. We have Manos, the technician, with us on the phone. Manos, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And are things working this week?
Yes, everything is working. We just turned on the broadcast a few seconds ago, and we have about 15 people connected already.
15 people are connected. And
yes.
Can you tell where these people are coming from?
Not really right now. At the end of the show, we'll have some more statistics.
Okay. Well, we hope to hear from some people overseas. And if you are overseas, please take the time to give us a phone call on the special number at the bottom of your screen, on whatever computer it is that you're listening to us on. Let us know how the sound quality is, if things are working out well this time. Last time we had a few glitches, but I think we got most of those straightened out, didn't we?
Yes, we had some small problems at the beginning of the show. The first 15 minutes were a little bit difficult, but after that, yeah, everything got straightened out.
Uh-huh, great. So, what's the maximum capacity of people we can have this week?
40 people.
40 people this week as well, so...
Next week, we hope that we will have much more.
Well, next week is the big fundraiser. It's a three-hour-long show, and I don't know if we want to subject people in other parts of the world to are begging for money, but if we do, then that's 3 hours of Off the Hook next Tuesday. And the Tuesday after that, we are not on the air, so... That's the update as far as that goes. Okay, and you can also, if you connect to our website, www.2600.com, you can download a couple of shows from the past. So those of you who are local might be interested in doing that at some point. You can do that any time of the day or night and listen to the show whenever you feel like it. That's kind of neat. So, again, we hope to hear from some people there. You can definitely give us a call anytime using the special number wherever you are in the world, and we'll try to talk to you. Menos, anything you want to add?
No, not really. Just hope that everything will go smooth, and we'll keep in touch.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much for your help, and we'll stay in touch with you as well. Good night.
Bye.
And that was the update from Menos out there at the special WBAI Off the Hook Real Audio Uplink facility. Well, I see by the look in the chair that Fiber is not here, so that means he must be in a taxi somewhere. Let's see if we can reach him. Dial tone, please.
Thank you.
Okay, hopefully the next thing you hear will be the sound of Fiber's phone ringing.
Hi, this is Mark. I'm not around at the moment.
Well, I guess it still doesn't quite work all that well. All right, well, maybe he's in the elevator. Could that be?
Sure.
All right, it's quite possible. Okay, here we have some updates on phone service, local phone service in the area. Oh, do we have some people? Let's see if these are actual people. Good evening. Where are you calling from?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. Are you actually listening to us right now?
Yes, I am.
How are we coming in?
Perfect.
Great. Wow, you know, we're not used to that. We're not used to things actually working. So that's good to hear.
I just wanted to call and tell you congratulations for getting it to work.
Okay, great. Now, tell us something about the phone systems down in Atlanta. You're Bell South, right?
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah? So it's nice to know that people feel the same way about their local phone company as we do up here.
Yeah.
Doesn't Bell South, though, are you familiar with ISDN at all?
Yes.
Well, don't they offer untimed ISDN for 64K?
In certain cases, if you already have a business line.
You have to have a business line?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So how about a residence?
Then they'll give you the unlimited hours type deal.
Uh-huh. Unlimited hours for 64K.
Yeah.
We can't get that up here. Up here, it's a penny a minute.
Yeah, I listened to your show. I guess it was the New Year's Eve one, I guess.
Uh-huh.
When I was in New Jersey with my grandma, and it was
right.
First time I listened to it, and I'm trying to listen to it since.
All right. Well, hopefully this can become a regular feature. And I guess one of the things that we can figure out here, since we can get people from all over the country listening, is which local phone company sucks the most. I think it's NYNEX. Now, maybe you think it's Bell South. We can have sort of a little playoff here.
Start something on your webpage.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely get some material there.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye. So, one person from Atlanta. Okay, that is the record so far. I'm going to Atlanta, by the way. Did you know that?
When?
I'm going to Atlanta for the 2600 meeting, which is on February the 7th.
Ooh.
not this Friday. The Friday after this Friday.
Ah.
So I'm going down to Atlanta.
You're flying?
No, I'm driving.
Ooh.
I'm driving. Oh, no, I prefer to drive because I think driving, obviously it takes longer, but you get a sense of the distance that you're traveling.
How far is the trip?
I don't know, but it's going to take me a couple of days to get down there and a couple of days to get back, obviously. But, flying is okay, but I prefer driving. I prefer being in control of my own destiny, and I also prefer being able to drive onto the side streets occasionally and onto the sidewalks if I feel like that. It's really the best way to go.
Do you know the hacker folk down in Atlanta, or are you just going to kind of show up?
I know some hacker folk down in Atlanta.
So they have a place to crash?
Well, yeah, there's always places to crash in many, many different parts of the world. But, yeah, Atlanta is something I hope to learn more about, because I know there's a vibrant hacker scene down there.
Vibrant?
Yeah, well, in fact, they had a hacker conference in Atlanta a couple of years ago. SummerCon was held in Atlanta, I believe, back in 1995.
Okay.
And met quite a few of the policemen there, and a lot of emergency personnel, actually.
Emergency personnel?
Yeah, it was. It's a long, drawn-out story, and it's probably not past the statute of limitations yet, so we'll talk about it some other time.
Okay.
But, there are some interesting things that happen, that have happened, that are happening. But no need to even think about that right now. Okay, shall we take any more phone calls? Well, if people call in, we'll try to take them as they come in. Speaking of local phone service, which is what we are trying to cover here, you recall a couple of weeks ago we mentioned MCI was trying to get into the local phone business. Well, there's proof today in all the local newspapers. They have full page ads. For the first time in history, businesses can choose a local phone service. Now, why is it always businesses that get to choose first? Why can't the residences choose? I mean, you know, they gear these things towards people who spend lots of money, and they're the ones that get the first choice. Seems to me the people that really need the choice are the ones who are struggling to make it. Anyway, that's what the ad says. For the first time in history, businesses can choose a local phone service. Not surprisingly, we just happen to be in the area. Well, That's not exactly what MCI told me when I called them. They didn't seem to think they were in the area at all. They said that they're only offering it in California and only in the southern part of New York City, like 6th Avenue, whatever that means. According to the ad, now you can choose between what your old local monopoly offers and the kinds of efficiencies and economies only MCI can offer larger businesses. I think that tells you where their priorities are. Like competitive volume discounts, outstanding customer service, even the opportunity to put your local long-distance international data, conferencing, cellular paging, and internet all on one bill. Notice how they slip internet in there?
Internet on one bill?
Yeah. You know, I don't get internet on any bill right now.
No. Well, are they an ISP then?
Apparently,
well,
that's...
MCI, yeah.
That's what they're trying to, you know, push themselves at. www.mci.com/local-service is the address. They say we know all of these areas like the back of our hand.
What paper is that in?
This is Newsday. It's also in the New York Times. But what do you think the back of MCI's hand looks like? Well, they know all these areas like the back of that hand. And for more information, oh, they have a phone number here. I'm going to call this number, okay? I'm going to call this number to get more information because I want more information. It's not an 800 number. Not at all. And I don't mind playing it over the air because, well, they printed it in the New York Times. See what we can find.
Now, from around the world to just around the corner, introducing MCI Local Service. If you would like information on replacing your existing residential telephone service with MCI Local Service, please press 1.
Yes, definitely.
If you would like information on replacing your existing business telephone service with MCI Local Service, please press 2. If you are calling from a rotary phone, please stay on the line.
Please hang up and leave us alone.
To repeat your options,
I hit one.
Star key.
I'm hitting one. Hello. I hope he heard me. I don't know if he heard me.
Thank you. Ah. One moment, please.
I still don't know if he heard me. He might be transferring me to the rotary people.
Thank you for calling MCI. My name is Mary. We are pleased to announce that our local phone service will be available in limited markets, and we know that you'll have lots of questions, so we've created a special information package to send to you. May I have your name, address, and phone number, please?
I'm sorry, I think I might have reached the wrong number. Is this what company again?
MCI.
And you're offering, did you say you're offering local service?
Local service, yes, sir.
Is that residential local service?
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me what it costs?
No, I cannot.
You cannot tell me that. Is there a number you can give me that will tell me that?
Not that I'm aware of, sir. All we're doing is taking down the people's names and addresses for MCI and passing it on to them.
I see. Are you located in New York by any chance?
No.
Can you tell me what state you're in?
Florida.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna see if that's what I want, and I'll give you a call back. Are you there 24 hours a day?
Yes, we are.
Okay, great. Thanks for your help. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Yeah, I just wanted to sort of, after saying all that, to say, oh, I think I might have the wrong number. I mean, can you imagine they have to answer the phone with that little speech every time?
I thought she was a recording.
I thought so, too. I was going to hit a touch tone. Uh-huh. You know, that does work. If you listen to people that give these long spiels when they pick up the phone, if you hit a touch tone, they always say, hello. Uh-huh. You know, just try it sometime. You call them up, you hit the touch tone, and it always interrupts whatever it is they're saying. So it's just like they're a computer.
Yeah.
Anyway, the number is 718-489-1997, which I guess is the year, 489-1997, area code 718. I don't know why it's in 718. I don't know why we're calling 718 when it gets routed to Florida, but they cannot tell us how much it costs because I don't think the service actually exists. If anyone in any part of the country can correct us, please let us know. Now, in today's New York Times, there is an article about AT&T getting into the local telephone business. AT&T is venturing cautiously into local telephone business. Now, the AT&T Corporation announced its first significant foray into the local telephone business yesterday, but the modest scope of its two new services underscored that AT&T was tiptoeing into this $100 billion market, even a year after it was thrown open to competition. Starting on February 3rd, AT&T said it would offer local phone service to small and medium-sized business customers in California. The long-distance carrier will not build its own local operations, but will lease lines on the existing local network of Pacific Telesis Group. AT&T said it would also offer, perhaps you people on the West Coast can tell us, is it Pacific Telesis or Pacific Telesis? Because we've had arguments about this, and nobody seems to know out here. So please let us know if you have an idea. AT&T said it would also offer local service to large business customers that have dedicated lines connecting their offices to AT&T's long-distance network. That service, called Digital Link, is available in 35 states. But for now, it will only handle outgoing local calls. There are a number of other restrictions and things that AT&T just isn't quite doing yet. And a lot of vagueness as far as to how much it's actually going to wind up costing. According to a spokesman, AT&T service in California would set a new standard for simplicity. The company will offer customers a flat rate of $10.32 a month plus less than 2 cents a minute, regardless of the length of the call, time of day, or the local calling area. Well, you know what's left out there are unlimited local dialing plans, because in many cities, many parts of the country, you can call the local calling area as much as you want. You can stay on the phone for the entire month if you want, and there are no permanent charges. And here they're saying less than 2 cents a minute. So it's, you know, it's kind of deceiving in some ways. I'd like to see more competition, but at the same point, I'd like to see more competition for people that really need it, and more than just AT&T and MCI tiptoeing into the long-distance market. Okay, let's give Fiber another try, because obviously he wasn't in the elevator, unless he's stuck in the elevator. We'll see if he's within range now. Here we go. Okay, he's still got voicemail picking up, so he must not be in the range. Oh, well, I guess we'll just have to live with that. Okay, now, those of you who are out there in various parts of the world, please, we want to hear from you, so give us a call. Right now, we'll pick up. And those of you locally, call 212-279-3400, and we'll be happy to speak to you on that line. This radio show is being broadcast throughout the world on Real Audio over the Internet. And those of you who are listening in that way already know that, so there's no need to announce it any further, I guess. Do we have a call down there? Okay, let's see if we can reach out to another part of the country. Good evening. You're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Are you listening to us on the Real Audio?
No, because I can't get on.
Uh-huh. And why can't you get on?
Because it's too busy.
It's too busy? What kind of message are you getting when you try?
I'm getting an error message. I'll tell you right now. I'll try it again.
Okay.
It says, server alert, you cannot receive this content.
Uh-huh. Okay. No. Well, you know, in a way, I'm not really that upset about that, because you can hear the show anywhere. You know, you're in Brooklyn, so you can already listen to us. So hopefully people, if there are people connected to the server that can listen to us ordinarily, please disconnect so other people that cannot listen to us, you know, in other parts of the world can do so. As long as you're on the line, anything else you wanted to tell our listeners?
Yes, all right. I have a beeper. I'm not going to say my number on the air.
Good idea.
But the voicemail, mm-hmm. I got voicemail recently on it, and if you hit pound and then star, you get an open dial tone.
If you hit star...
you get a message saying, please leave your numeric message or your... alphanumeric message after the beep, and then if you hit pound and then star, you get an open.
Now, are you sure? Tone. Are you sure this is not just a recording of a dial tone? This is an actual dial.
Yes, I've tried dialing,
and you can make phone calls on this.
You can make phone calls on.
Is this in area code 917?
Correct.
Okay. Well,
the prefix is 235.
Oh,
everyone.
Well, you've just made it very easy for everybody then. 235 exchange and 917. Okay. Well.
Yeah, just try it. They have a crap load of beepers on there. They're probably going to be pissed at me. I'm not going to give out my beeper number, but.
Can you give, all right, just not to push this any further, but can you give out the first digit of the suffix, only because they tend to map out numbers
seven.
That way? Okay, great. We're going to try, we'll check that out right now.
Try dialing in, and I left a message on the 2600 voicemail BBS too, and I haven't gotten any responses yet.
Okay, that's because everyone's too busy playing with it, so. All right, we'll see how that goes. Thanks for, the tip there. That's definitely a wide open hole, if that's true. Let's try a number at random. We won't tell you what number we're calling. And we'll turn down the microphone when we actually reach that one. Let's see if... he said pound and star?
We're sorry. The number you have reached has been disconnected.
Oh, there it is. Okay, let's try calling us now.
not in service. Please, you know, check the number and dial again.
I think that sounds like a fake dial tone to me. I think I can prove it by just entering the last five digits. Let's try this. Oops, sorry.
We're sorry. The number you have reached is not in service.
You see, that's not...
Please check the number and dial again.
That's a beeper... a beeper recording.
958.
Want to try 958? See, I don't think this is a real dial tone. Actually, that's interesting because we didn't get the recording there. All right, let's try filling that with some extra digits. 958-1212.
We're sorry. The number you have reached...
Okay, it seems to be waiting for... Okay, it's waiting for seven digits.
Dial again.
All right, let's try entering the full number that we just dialed. Don't know where it went. I think that was a voicemail. I think we might have hit a voicemail. I think what you can do with that service, and I have to play with it some more, but I think what you can do with that is dial anything within that beeper company. You can keep redialing different numbers. They're seven-digit numbers. I don't see any evidence you can dial out with it, so if I'm wrong, please correct me, but that's interesting. It's not atypical. A lot of beeper companies do that, where you can hit star and get through to some things. All right, let's see if we can get another part of the country. Good evening. You're on.
I have dual ISDN, and I'm not getting much of what you're saying. I think the servers are a little lagged.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We're going to have to keep trying, I guess. have you tried connecting several different times?
Actually, I have. I've connected about six times so far, and so far all I've gotten is, well, I could let you hear real quick if you want. Or...
Yeah, let's take a listen.
Have you tried connecting several different times?
Actually, I have. I've connected about six times so far, and so far all I've gotten is...
That sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, just my luck. It comes in great.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's our luck, too. But
all right.
All right, well, keep trying.
Yeah, I will, too.
Okay, Detroit out there. Let's see who else is out there. Good evening. Where are you calling from? Yes, go ahead. You're on the air. Speak up. I guess they got camera shy. Can happen. Fiber, you're here.
Yes, I am. Hi.
Wow, how you doing?
Okay.
So we tried reaching you several times to no avail.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, well, I was on 4th Street momentarily, East 4th Street. It still seems to be a little...
We tried you about maybe 6 minutes ago, and then we tried you about, 10, 11 minutes?
6 minutes ago, I was probably in the elevator.
Took you 6 minutes to walk into the studio from the elevator?
Well, I've been sitting here for a couple minutes.
No. I mean, 6 minutes before you got here. Well, anyway, let's try this other phone call here. Good evening, you're on the air. That's the problem with letting in other parts of the country. You get that. You know, we all know what state that is.
Texas.
Well, you said it. I didn't.
Jersey.
All right. Well, Jersey's already within our range.
Yeah.
Get this. Now, here's an interesting news item that somebody just sent us today. well, it's not really a news item. It's a letter. Listen to this carefully. Yesterday, when I was going home, I noticed something rather interesting on one of the LED display screens at the bottom of the escalators in the 51st Street subway station between the E and the 6 lines. This display was flashing something to the tune of 2600. Enjoy 2600 hacker meetings every first Friday of the month. 54th Street in Lexington. It may have been slightly different, but you get the idea. Was this official, or did someone with a lot of time on their hands infiltrate the system? Well, it wasn't official. We did not lease out time with the New York City subway system to have an advertisement for our meetings. What I think happened, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think somebody got one of those little handheld units that allow you to modify certain LED displays. Yeah, you can do that. Just like a TV remote. You point at it, and you can change what it says. And you can do this from across a room, so nobody knows you're doing it unless they're watching the display at the time. So it makes for a lot of fun in all kinds of scenarios. I saw one in a store that was selling lotto tickets that saying, "Lotto's a big ripoff. Do not buy lotto tickets here," you know. And, of course, the people that run the things don't know how to stop it, so they wind up unplugging the whole thing. And at that leads to more problems. So that's what I think happened. Unless somebody out there decided to take out an ad on our benefit, that's, you know, that's what I'm going to maintain happened in that particular situation. It's kind of interesting. I wish I had seen it, but maybe other people saw it as well. All right, 212-279-3400 is our phone number. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, hey, Emmanuel. How you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm just calling about the Beyond Hope conference in August.
Yes. August 8, 9, and 10.
Oh. Well, I subscribed to the mailing list, right?
Okay.
And I was the guy who spelled Van Eck wrong.
Oh, well, Fiber, do you have something to admonish this person about spelling Van Eck wrong?
Oh, yeah, it's E-Y-C-K.
Yeah, I think he knows that now.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to know, you said it was going to be downtown, right?
Yes.
Is there any new developments? Because the mailing list has been somewhat dead for a while.
Well, there haven't really been any new developments to report. We're working on a couple of deals with, like, local places, you know, theaters, cafes, things like that. So there's nothing firm yet, which is why we haven't said anything. But it's still being held in the Puck Building, which is on the corner of Houston and Lafayette. And it's still set for those dates. We're open to suggestion if people want to join the mailing list or just send things to us. I'll give out the information as to how people can do that.
Oh. Well, and also, what do you guys think about Ebonics?
Well, you know, there's a lot of that going around on various internet things that alter the language that you're speaking and turn it into some mock kind of language that they've made up. It's kind of funny the way they've done this, but the whole debate, I don't know, it tells a lot about American culture, I think.
Oh, yeah. And also, one more question. Is Bernie S. going to be there?
I cannot say at this point. It's too early to you know, say for sure, but we certainly hope so. He'll be there in one form or another. If he can't be there in person, then he'll be there on a video display or something, or, you know, we'll have a holographic image of him or something. We'll work it out somehow.
Technology will find a way.
That's right.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
And certainly, in addition to Bernie S. and Fiber Optic and all the other people, we're going to try and get people from around the world to show up to this thing.
Now, you should bear in mind that this is going to be my very first con.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't go to cons, but I'm going to make an exception.
Well, you've gone to conferences, though.
Yeah, but not cons.
Yeah, well, you know, this isn't really a con in the true sense
of
the word.
Yes,
it is. No, it's having been to cons, this is different, slightly different. It's not like the conferences either. It's a conf.
A conf?
Yeah.
No, that's a phone thing.
Okay, since I wasn't at the last Hope, how is this Hope going to be different from, say, SummerCon or HoHoCon or DefCon?
I don't want to, you know, say anything bad about the other ones because they're different. You know, they cater to a different type of thing. Okay, I'll tell you, the other types of cons that you mentioned tend to cater only towards a certain group of people,
right.
Whereas something like Beyond Hope caters to a large number of different types of people that get together and share things. So, for instance, you don't have a lot of BAI listeners going to SummerCon, going to DefCon, because they know nothing about it. They're not invited to it. They're not a part of that little community. But here, they are a part of this community. We're all part of the same community. We come from all different aspects of it. So for that reason alone, you know, the Hope Conference in 1994, we got about 1,400 people all together, and they weren't all people that talked to each other on IRC. They were people that had never even played with computers before, some of them. They were interested in what we had to offer, and they came away with a lot of knowledge. And some of them are on IRC now. but
so
regardless,
it was all worthwhile.
Regardless of that, sometimes it went wrong. But yeah, you know, there's a lot to be learned, and it's a bit more structured. Whereas, you know, those other conferences that cost like $1,000 to go to, you know, they're super structured, multi-tiered, that kind of thing, and mostly boring. You know, we're going to try to have the excitement of the cons with the semi-structure of the conferences. So that's,
I like that, semi-structure.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be as structured as they are, for sure,
yeah.
Because, you know, you lose the subject matter with all the structure that's going on. Plus, we're going to try to have all kinds of other things going on in the city on that weekend. And if people out there and they want to be a part of this, please get in touch with us. And there's a lot of time to work things out. You know, like if you own, you know, like, you know, the tunnel or something, and you want to give it to us for the weekend, you know, that's the kind of thing to call us about. But no, anything really, anything that you'd like to participate in. I guess we can give people information as to how to get a hold of us. There's several ways you can, if you're on the net now, of course, you can email us, oth@2600.com. And if you want to subscribe to the mailing list also on the net, you send mail to majordomo at 2600.com. That's spelled M-A-J-O-R-D-O-M-O. It's a ridiculous-looking word, but that's what it is. And that's basically a computer program that you're talking to. You have to tell it in the first line of your message, not in the subject, in the first line of the message, you have to say subscribe. And then the name of the list you want to subscribe to, which in this case is Beyond Hope. One word, B-E-Y-O-N-D-H-O-P-E. And then just to be safe, follow that with your email address, your full email address.
The one that you normally send mail from.
Yeah, the one that you would give out to people as your email address. And then send that message away. You should get a confirmation message telling you to send verification that you really want to do this. Once you do that, you'll be on the list. And then you'll get updates sent to your mailbox. Now, if you don't have access to the internet, of course, we still want you to be involved. You can send us mail. You can call us. The phone number is 516-751-2600. And, you know, I don't think we have a Hope mailbox set up yet on the voicemail system there. So you can, I guess, just send mail to me, Emmanuel Goldstein. You know, I can spell out my name or something like that. Or just hit zero and transfer yourself to the official 2600 answering machine. Or you can send us mail, 2600 P.O. Box 848, Middle Island, New York, 11953. And we will get you information that way. Anything we left out?
Not concerning that, but okay. I do have a number of updates.
Okay, what are the number of updates? By the way, people listening to us on the internet, please give us a call. There are no calls coming from the internet right now. We have a bunch of calls from New York City, and we are going to take those as well. But we'd like to hear from people in other parts of the world as well. Go ahead.
I did, I had mentioned to you that the OmniPoint phones have started both sending and receiving reliable email.
Is it reliable?
It appears to be working 100% of the time.
Within a day you get it?
I get it within a minute.
Within a minute?
Or from the phone.
That's really something.
It's been working reliably over the past week.
And I'm told that somebody scaled a mountain in Nepal and actually was able to get weather updates there.
Actually, it wasn't Nepal. It was it was Beverly Hills.
Oh. It was somewhere in the West.
Yeah, while they were in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And they were able to get service there, no problem. Apparently, there's a roaming agreement between OmniPoint and Pacific Bell Mobile, PB Mobile. Mm-hmm. And when they were in Beverly Hills, they didn't have a very good signal until they climbed up higher to, okay. I guess, on top of a hill or mountain or something. And then they had good signal.
Oh, that's
I don't know.
GTE
might be the company in Beverly Hills.
They were,
I don't know that
they were on top of a mountain in Beverly Hills. They were getting the weather for Flushing.
Yeah, that's right. All their messages, including their weather and the local news, was forwarded to them.
Uh-huh.
So they were finding out that it was supposedly going to snow in Queens when it was like 80 degrees or 90 degrees in California.
And it didn't snow in Queens anyway, though.
Yeah, it ended up not snowing, rather. Sorry.
It smoked. It's always smoking in Queens, but snowing is something else. All right, let's take some local phone calls. 212-279-3400. Those of you on the web, we're waiting. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel.
Oh, I don't recognize that voice. Do you recognize
that
voice?
No.
I haven't heard this voice in so long. I have totally wiped out all memory of this voice.
Well,
I don't even know who this is anymore.
Well, you're talking about OmniPoint phones, and I just wanted to ask,
yes.
What is the difference between the digital OmniPoint phone and the digital AT&T cellular phone? You know, the digital GSM as opposed to the digital cellular?
Well, Fiber, that's a question for you, I think.
Can he repeat the question? I was distracted by my
own. Do I have to repeat it?
Yeah, I guess you do. Fiber, please pay attention.
Fiber, pay attention.
He was hacking the phone or something. I don't know. I asked the question again.
I wanted to know what the difference between the GSM digital phone and the digital cellular phone, like from AT&T or something, is.
Well, all the digital cellular network is just DAMPS, the digital advanced. I'm having a speech impediments tonight. It's the Digital Advanced Mobile Phone Service, DAMPS, as opposed to AMPS, which is just regular analog cellular. GSM is a whole different protocol. It's an actual, it would be more akin to a packet switch network that's wireless, as opposed to just a digital form of AMPS. And it's GSM does not use cells. It actually uses spread spectrum, and there are small antennas on the fronts of buildings.
Right, I know.
On light poles and
right.
so on.
But I'm saying, the digital cellular phones, the actual phone, when you talk into it, it converts it into a digital signal before it sends it out over the air, right?
Yeah, well, and they're both digital. That's about as much that they have in common.
Right, but the same thing with the GSM, though, right?
Yeah, but...
And that's why you get that delay, like when you're talking, like when you're on your digital cellular phone, and when you're your GSM phone, and you're talking to Emmanuel at that time, you got a delay, like you'd talk and he'd hear it like a second later, because it has to have time to, like, convert.
No, the reason why there's a delay on a GSM phone is because your voice is ping-ponging around the neighborhood.
Oh, I see.
Before it finally gets relayed to its destination.
That's why it sounds so tired when it gets to you, finally. Any other questions out there?
When is this the Beyond Hope again?
August 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Wait, isn't that when DEF CON is?
I don't think so. I don't think they've announced a date for DEF CON yet.
Oh.
And we don't really care if they do.
Well, of course we do. Don't listen to him. All right, thanks for calling. Sorry. I wanted to say something else. We got an internet call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
California. Okay, what part of California?
San Jose, South Bay, San Francisco.
Oh, great. Yes, I've heard of that.
Okay.
So how is the signal coming in out there?
Well, I can try and play it.
Okay.
I've lost about 20%. It's kind of somewhat hard to get it, but I can catch most of it.
Okay.
My problem is, I was wondering how I can get into an Apple Talk or a computer on an Ethernet network that has file sharing off, but that has that can get on the internet. So it has an open IP address. It has an open way for the computer to get on through the server instead of school, through the district server.
Yeah.
How would I go about doing that? Is there a program that can get into it?
You want to tackle that one?
I just received an email on my phone from our friendly David.com person.
Yeah? How does that answer this guy's question?
I didn't hear what he said.
Listen, let me take that phone. Give me the phone. Give me the phone. Now.
Okay.
After the show, I'll give the phone back to you.
All right.
All right. Now, I'm sorry, sir. You're going to have to ask that question all over again and have Mark listen to it this time and hopefully pay attention. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm at school. We're in the Campbell District. I don't know if that matters. And all of the internet, there's about 40 computers hooked up to one ISDN line, which goes through the district server. And there's another computer that has file sharing turned off that I wanted to know how I could get into that computer. And that computer is able to get on the internet just by opening Netscape. It hooks right up. So I'm thinking there's got to be some way to get inside of it. And I can get to a terminal that's on the Ethernet network.
Wait, so you're basically asking me how to break into a computer on the air in front of millions of people. You want me to give you a straight answer?
Hey, I was hacking the beeper phone. If I can do that, you can tell people how to, you know, theoretically get into a system.
How to theoretically? Well, I don't think you really mentioned whether it was a PC or a Mac, did you?
A Mac.
Yeah, it's a Mac.
It's a Mac.
Okay. Apple Share we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you want to defeat Apple Share's security is what you're saying.
Right.
Is it sharing anything? Is Apple sharing turned on or off?
I think it's off. I mean, it doesn't come up when you try.
And you simply can't get into the machine. It's that easy.
Really? It's a hardware thing?
No, it's a software thing. And either Apple sharing is turned on or off. And if it's turned off, it simply isn't sharing anything.
I think he'd like to turn it on.
Then he's going to have to get in front of the machine or get somebody in front of the machine and enable Apple sharing. There's nothing. If Apple sharing is turned off in the Apple sharing control panel, then there's no way you're going to access anything on that machine remotely. It's that simple.
Yeah, you have to have control of that machine.
Right.
The machine you want to get inside of. And
right.
Somehow change it so that setting is the way you want it to be.
Okay. Because I figure if it can access a web page on another server, I was just thinking there's got to be some way to get inside of it.
No, but they're accessing a web page on another server by sitting
right.
in front of it and connecting
yeah.
out.
Oh, true. Right.
All right.
All right.
Well, we wish you luck.
Thanks a lot.
All right, and we hope you're on the side of good. But there's no way to really know.
Instead of evil,
hey, we got this letter. Dear Emmanuel, you've got me hooked. A friend and I are trying to use Real Audio to listen to BBC Radio 4 in London, not World Service, which I can get on shortwave. But so far, no luck. One problem is that Radio 4 goes off the air at about 12:30 a.m. London time, but the programs might be stored in memory somewhere. In next week's program, could you try to tune into a radio station in Europe or figure out how to access the domestic transmissions of the BBC? Well, we don't have a computer set up right now that can do that. But I can tell you, if you go around searching for things like BBC, Radio 4, and Alta Vista, I'm sure you will find sites that have that particular bits of information. If they are using Real Audio at all, or if somebody is using Real Audio for them, that should show up on that kind of a search. You can also try even calling the BBC and asking if they do this. You know, they might actually know whether or not they do. I'm sure that it's around someplace. I know BBC World Service is broadcast on satellite here in the United States. I don't know. That's obviously not what you're looking for, since you can get that anyway on shortwave. I think a lot of other things. I know the Serbian radio was being broadcast real time through the accessforall.nl server. If you ask around in those circles, if you get on certain news groups, they'll pass around the URLs that will allow you to connect to those. Let us know what you find out. If anybody out there has information on this, please call in and let us know. What's the most interesting thing you've listened to on Real Audio?
The most interesting thing, the thing that I like listening to is at www.thedj.com.
TheDJ.com.
TheDJ.com. Okay. You could select all different kinds of music and just listen commercial-free.
Uh-huh.
The only problem is that too many people know about it now, and a lot of times they kick you off if you're listening for too long.
Is this uncensored music, or is it only...
I don't think it's censored.
Only the kinds of things that they play on the radio anyway?
No, it's not just stuff they play on the radio. It's a much broader selection of different types of music.
Like, give us an example of how much they narrow it down.
Like, I'm trying to think. They have, they actually divide down different types of techno.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they don't just say techno.
Uh-huh.
There's different types.
Uh-huh.
And then they sort of, like, have, like, fringe kind of stuff, like trance music.
Trance, ambient, acid jazz,
yeah,
all that
they
kind of
like, they, it's really granular, the way they narrow down.
Do they have
music.
Any happy hardcore?
I didn't see any mention of happy hardcore yet, but maybe we could send a suggestion to
them.
Yes,
I think we should definitely send suggestions. Trance. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, we have a call coming in from somewhere. Good evening, you're on the air. Where are you calling from?
Hi, guys. From New Jersey.
New Jersey.
I just wanted to tell you that once I switch from, there's an adjustment on the Real Audio from 16-bit to 8-bit. When I changed from 16 to 8-bit, it got much better. I was basically continuous radio stream, where with 16-bit, it was very much chopped up.
This is the guy whose provider is called In Jersey, right? Yeah, he confused us a couple of weeks ago.
Right. Then I couldn't hear you at all.
Uh-huh.
Today was perfect.
Okay, well, it's good to know that you're able to listen to us.
Right.
But can you listen to us anyway over the radio?
Oh, yes.
Okay, well, you should do that so somebody from, say, Pakistan can listen to us now. Okay, take care.
Bye.
And so far, nobody from Pakistan has called us. In fact, nobody from Gambia has called us, or anywhere, you know, in those parts of the world. We'd like to hear from someone. I know, you know, it's going to cost a bit to, you know, dial us, but we don't pick up the phone before we pick up on the air. So it's not like, you know, when you call Larry King and he puts you on hold for an hour and a half. No, we don't do that. We pick up the phone when we're ready to go on the air. No screening here. So give us a call at the number that's listed on your screen. Let's go back to New York. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Great. I'm trying to get through forever.
Okay, well, you got through now.
There's a couple of things that I wanted to mention to you about. One was at the beginning of the show, you were talking about the fake dial tone on your pagers.
Uh-huh.
I know for a fact that that dial tone is specifically made for accessing other pagers in the pager company, that same pager company.
That's what I suspected. It sounded too clean to be a real dial tone.
Yeah. The second thing that I wanted to mention to you about is pretty much just an information type of thing, but if anybody out there has access to or gets PC Week, there is on a cover article a enhanced version of, or an appendix, you could say, to Jonathan Littman's book that he wrote about Kevin Mitnick, and it's essentially an update of everything that's happened since that book is published. It actually goes into his federal indictment and this and that. And I know personally that I haven't been able to find out too much information about what he's actually being charged with, what he's facing, where the status of his case is currently, and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. And if anybody else is interested, it's in the issue of PC Week that just came out today. It's dated January 27th, 1997, but I receive it by subscription, and I got it today.
I do know that that book has just, The Fugitive Game, has just come out in paperback, and there's a long update, long epilogue to what has gone on since the book was published originally. So, yes, it is available both in book form, and I don't know if they're printing the whole thing in PC Week.
Well, I don't know myself. I bought the hardcover, so I didn't know that the paperback came out. But it was just very interesting to me, considering PC Week usually doesn't talk about stuff like that.
John Lipman, in fact, will be our guest next week on this show. So we'll be talking to him about his new book, which features the antics of Kevin Paulson.
There's
the other Kevin.
There's just one other thing that I want to mention, and that was something that you were talking about last week with DVD.
Yes.
And I have a bit of an update to the information that you were able to provide last week, and that is I was reading in a magazine called Boot Magazine about the DVD drives that are coming out. And essentially, the way they've decided to release this, I think that it's going to be disaster for it, because they're planning to release two versions of the DVD drive. One capable of decoding the encryption, and one not capable of decoding the encryption, that can only be used to play certain types of MPEG CD-ROMs that I guess can't be played with normal CD-ROM drives now. And one will cost more than the other, the one that's able to decode the encryption, and essentially that will also require more processor power, so I just thought I would put that out there.
What is going to be encrypted?
The actual video or whatever is on the DVD. That's what, you know, held it up for so long. They couldn't figure out a way to keep DVDs from getting copied. Obviously the CDR market isn't that huge, but they're very concerned about it. And all that information is what will be encrypted. I mean, whether it's video or audio or whatever else they would put on a DVD disc, the movies, you won't be able to copy it with the encryption. It's kind of, I guess, like DAT tapes when they came out, how you could make a copy of the original, but you couldn't make a copy of the copy. But here, I don't think you'll be able to make a copy of even the original once.
Well, as usual, they're letting greed get in the way of progress. And
yeah.
I think that's going to impede it, certainly.
Yeah, I just thought that was pretty interesting, so I just wanted to let everybody know.
Okay, well, thanks for the update.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
As you know, last week we called Radio Shack for a comment on this, and they said that they were not getting DVD anytime in the future.
I don't think he even knew what you were talking about.
I got that distinct impression myself. I sure did, and that was something. Yeah, I even saw a DVD player. I was at a store. I think it was the Warner Brothers store or something on Fifth Avenue, and they had a DVD player in a display case. You know, as an example of the heights to which technology will one day ascend. And I saw, you know, a DVD disc. It said it was a DVD disc on it, and it looked kind of, you know, like a holographic image type of a thing.
Yeah.
And it had this sort of...
Was
know,
it a
golden
double-sided
it.
Disc or single-sided?
I think it was single-sided. I think it was also single-layer. And,
yeah.
And I've heard a disturbing rumor that the first DVDs to come out will only... I knew they were going to be single-sided only, but now I hear they're only going to be single-layered
as well. I told
you
that disturbing rumor.
Yeah, well, you definitely... come up with a lot of disturbing rumors.
Yeah.
I don't know if this one's true.
Yeah, I heard from various sources that they're taking too long to release the new technology, that the people who are supposed to be recording interesting things on DVDs are saying there aren't enough companies making players. The companies that are supposed to be making players are saying that there isn't enough new media available on DVDs.
It's like a catch-22
yeah.
almost, you know?
The first DVDs to come out are supposedly only going to be single-sided and single-layer.
Look, I will buy, if this helps at all, I will buy one, okay? If they release it tomorrow, I will go out and I will buy a DVD player, multi-sided, multi-track. You don't have to worry, you have got at least one sale that's got to count for something. And not only that, I will tell other people to get them as well.
Well,
but
the thing that
you
people
play
should bear
ball.
In mind, though,
yes.
is that even though they're only single-sided and single-layer, they can still hold 4 gigs.
That's true.
As opposed to 650 megs.
But
in
initially,
CD.
They're supposed to hold about 16 gigs.
Well, then you need double-sided and multi-layer.
Yeah, but that's how they were saying this new technology would replace old CDs by, you know, multiplying an incredible amount. And now they're kind of like trying to strangle it. I think it's silly. They should, you know, release something. Because, you know, DVD one day will be outdated as well. It'll be replaced by something else.
Yeah.
So,
well, look at mini discs. They spent so much time putting those out, and those are already being outmoded by DVD, we think, anyway.
Well, mini discs are designed to be recorded on. DVDs, not so much yet.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will be someday.
Well, if anything, mini discs more or less are designed to be portable too, right?
Uh-huh, yes.
More than anything else.
That's exactly true.
Yeah.
And they don't do what they do in Strange Days. They don't, all right? They got a lot of sales based on that, but people were disappointed, and I think they got a few returns afterwards.
Yeah, they were looking for the Trodes.
Yeah,
where to plug them in.
You can't really experience other people's, you know, emotions through mini discs, unless they're, you know, really good singers or something. So, okay, we have only a couple minutes left, so I'd like to implore those people that are listening to us on the web or on the net right now to call the number on your screen and let us know where you are calling from, because... we probably won't be doing this next week. I'm almost certain we won't be, because we'll be so caught up in the fundraiser, and we certainly wouldn't want to subject people in other parts of the world to our fundraising efforts. Although maybe one day we will. Who knows? We have to deal with all that foreign money, though, you know? That'd be kind of hard. So please give us a call. This may be your last chance to talk to us for a little while until we get this perfected and do it again. All right, let's see who we have here. Good evening. Where are you calling from? Is that state again?
Huh.
You know?
Yeah.
We don't have caller ID, so we can't tell what state it is, but I think I know. All right, let's go back to the nice, civilized city of New York. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi.
How you doing?
This is your free telemile info line at your service. It's 758 miles to Atlanta by air from New York and 854 miles by dirt.
Okay. That's a kind of... fact that you get when you ask for it.
Interesting.
I didn't know I asked for it, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think I'm going to go by dirt. All right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Okay.
Go ahead. Speak up.
Yes. Hello.
How you doing?
How are you? Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Listen, I'm interested in knowing what the conclusion was with the student in Jersey, because I'm interested in writing a mass mailing program.
What is it that you're interested in?
I'm interested in running a mass mailing program.
Okay.
And I want to know, what was the conclusion with the student in Jersey?
I don't know what you're talking about. What exactly do you mean? The student in New Jersey?
It was like 2 years ago. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, give us some details. Maybe we'll know.
It was a mass mailing thing.
Okay. And what? Somebody was prosecuted for this or something? What?
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Tell us what you want to do.
I want to do a mass mailing program.
You want to mass mail what? Everybody on the net?
Yes.
We have enough crap in our mailboxes. Why don't you get something, find something interesting
to
do?
Maybe he's got something important to say. What kind of things do you want to mail?
Just information, like my friends or whatever. Just personal things, not to any Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Well,
do you want to start a mailing list?
Yeah, my own mailing list, but just it's all own program.
Well, there's nothing illegal about, or even annoying about starting mailing lists.
Are you sending mail to people who did not ask for it?
No.
Okay, so
that's a mailing list.
You only want to send mail to people that have expressed an interest.
Yes. Correct.
Okay, so what would you suggest? What kind of system are you running?
I'm running my own NT.
Okay, can he do that?
I don't know of any mailing list software that runs on Windows NT, unfortunately.
No, I want to create my own.
You want to write your own from scratch?
Yes.
That would be an accomplishment. You could probably sell something like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I want to know if it's legal or illegal, because if I give it to someone and they start doing other things...
No, there's nothing illegal about that at all.
No, not at all. I mean, you're not responsible for how people misuse your program. The important thing is that you have a purpose for your program that you're comfortable with.
Okay.
But yeah, it sounds like a good idea. We'd like to know more about it. If you, do you know what language you'll be writing it in?
C.
Okay, well, that's a good start, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, okay, so it's legal.
Sure,
definitely. I don't want to do anything that's illegal.
Writing a computer program cannot be illegal.
I know, but if someone uses the wrong thing, then I guess it could get traced back to... You could be the, accomplice.
Yeah, but the people that use the program are the ones who are responsible for using it in that way. You're simply a writer, you know, people read your words and figure out how to do something illegal with that. It's not your problem, it's them that did the actual act. Thanks for calling. Good luck. Let's see if anyone from another part of the world is out there. Good evening. What tone is that?
That's a one.
That's a one. Well, that's about the intelligence
level. There's somebody that needs to be mass mailed.
The intelligence level of that person is about a one. Okay, let's see if we can fit in some more. Good evening. You're on the air.
I have a question about the V-chip.
Okay.
Can you get in trouble for not using the V-chip?
You must use the V-chip. You must abide by its... No, of course, you don't have to use the V-chip. For one thing, all new TV sets, I don't know exactly when, will have the V-chip installed in them. I don't think it's now, because I know some people just bought a TV set and it wasn't in there.
Well, what I'm really thinking about is, if you have cable,
yeah,
can they tell what you're blocking or what you're not blocking? Let's say you have kids in the house and you don't block certain programs. Can you be considered a child abuser?
Are you really serious? Do you really think that's something that's likely in the future? People would be judged in that way?
I don't see why not. I mean, people are judging you based on all sorts of things these
well,
days.
Well, you know, whether or not it's technically possible, I think I really wish the people that sped this thing through Congress could hear from people like you as far as your fears and concerns, you know, because that's something to address. If you actually think that you're going to be judged based on what you let your kids watch and that there's a way to somehow remotely monitor you, that's a very good reason right there, you know, not to have a system like this and simply to leave it up to parents. But to answer your question in a more technical sense, no, that cannot happen, not in the current state of affairs.
Okay, thanks.
All right. I am correct in that.
That's a little scary, that statement that he was making.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what happens when you impose things like this. People actually fear that they will be monitored, and it affects your way of self-censorship. It affects the way you do things. It affects what you watch. Maybe he won't watch a certain program because he's afraid that it'll get back to his workplace or something, you know?
He didn't ask about the tiny hidden cameras in the cable boxes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a problem.
All those little cameras everywhere. Well, you know, I don't know if you read about this, but a lot of people do this under the pretense of protecting their kids from babysitters. They put little mini cameras in lamps so they can watch what happens in their homes. And of course, this goes well beyond when the babysitter is around. You can just spy on your family all the time. And if you can do it, anyone else can do it as well. And it doesn't have to be in your living room. It could be anywhere. And technology is getting cheaper and cheaper and smaller. So something to watch out for. Well, we got to watch out for the time, and it's time for us to leave. We'll be back again next week with our special three-hour show. I think it's 9 to 12. Is that right?
Is it really? We're not on at 8?
I'm not sure. You know, I should have looked, but I neglected to. I think it's 9 to 12, but tune in at 8 anyway, because if we're not there, something else will be there that's just as good. And we'll talk to you then, and new people on the net, we'll talk to you next time we do this. Stay tuned to our webpage, and we'll update everyone. For Fiber Optic, this is Emmanuel Goldstein. Have a good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. It couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bond for the best.
Co-host Ken Gale, and we want to tell you about our Nuff Said special, which we're going to broadcast from midnight to 3 a.m. on February 2nd.
Groundhog's Day.
Does that mean we're going to have to repeat the show over and over again?
Well, if we have to hear anything over and over again, this is the one to hear.
With our guest, Lynn Johnston.
The creator, writer, and artist of the comic strip For Better or Worse.
And also Mark Hamill.
Yes, that Mark Hamill.
The Mark Hamill who's the voice of the Joker and who played Luke Skywalker those many years ago?
Yeah.
That one. That's going to be a good show, and we're going to try and fill in as much as we can in 3 hours, maybe even some of your phone calls as well. So tune in. That's the Nuff Said special on WBAI from midnight to 3 a.m. February 2nd.
Groundhog's Day.
Does that mean we're repeating it?
Groundhog's Day.
Does that mean we're repeating it?
Groundhog's Day.
Does that mean we're repeating it?
Groundhog's Day.
Thank you.
Groundhog's Day, the day after my birthday. Enough said about that. This is Housing Notebook coming up next on WBAI-FM. The time is 9 p.m.
Paint peeling off the wall, dirt piling in the hall, ice on the pipes but no steam at all. Landlord, landlord.